Please join me in prayer. Amen. We've just heard again, read the story we heard a couple months ago, this magical story of the prophet Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel, as it's called in the older translations, waiting to see the salvation that God has prepared for the chosen people. Simeon's been given this promise: you will not die until you meet the chosen one, the Savior, the promised one I will send. And so when Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple to have him circumcised, and Simeon recognizes Jesus as the one he's been waiting for. And he makes this amazing prayer: Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to the promise you gave me, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared for all the peoples. He says this great prayer, this wonderful prayer, and then he looks Mary in the eye, Jesus' mother, and he says to her directly, this child will be destined for the rising and falling of many, and that the inner thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and he says, a sword will pierce your heart too. I always think of this story at Mother's Day. I think of it at Christmas. I always try to talk about it at Christmas. I never feel like I do it justice. But then a few months later, I think about it again at Mother's Day. On Christmas, I think about what it is trying to say about what it's going to be like for the followers of Jesus to see the inner thoughts of many hearts revealed, to be laid open ourselves. Maybe a sword will pierce our hearts too. But at Mother's Day, I think about what it implies about Mary, Jesus' mother. What it means about motherhood, what it means about parenthood, and really what it means for us any time we care for others in ways that make us vulnerable to fate, to chance, to the world, and its confusions, and even its wickedness. How do we care for others, and what does that lay us open to? When we're forced to recall what kind of world it can be, and when we're forced to recall how this world treats its young, and how it treats everyone who cares for them, what is this message trying to tell us? Mother's Day's a weird holiday, I think. I've never quite understood it very well. I grew up where I grew up, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was a Hallmark holiday, like Sweetest Day or Flag Day maybe. Not an insignificant holiday, but not one of the ones we really celebrated a lot. And maybe that's because I grew up in a place where people could afford to take motherhood for granted, where we had enough resources of culture and finance and economy that families could survive pretty well. But Mother's Day is a real problem for some people. And the harder we push it, the more uncomfortable it can become. There are people who wanted children desperately and never had them. There are people who chose to devote their lives in other directions. And for them, often Mother's Day comes as an accusation. Like, parenthood would have been better than whatever it is you ended up doing. I read a piece this week, about someone reflecting on this custom in churches where they ask all the mothers to stand up and everyone applauds. And she said, you know, this is a woman who'd never had children herself. And she said, every year the message of that is very clear to me, that real women stand and empty shells remain seated. She said it in a stark way, in a hard way, but it made real clear the ways in which we struggle, or should struggle, with the meaning of Mother's Day. And more painful of all, more harder to admit than that even, is that there are people for whom mother was not a happy experience. People who had punitive mothers, cold mothers, Mothers who were addicted or angry or hateful or just couldn't figure it out. People who spent much of their lives trying to undo the damage that their mothering or their parenting, their fathering did to them. And to ask them to be nice to your mother on Mother's Day, to be nice to your father on Father's Day, sometimes feels like asking them to betray something of themselves for the sake of a Hallmark card picture of what the world would be like if it was run by fantasy rather than reality. So Mother's Day is a tricky business for some people, because I also don't want to get rid of it. The traditions that people have, places where the mothers are the strength of the community. Maybe that's all places, but there are some places where it's particularly important to value and honor at least one day a year, and probably a lot more than that, the role of women in holding society together. The women who don't get enough credit for all the work they do, for all of the ways that they commit themselves to holding together a neighborhood, a family, a society, a culture. Places where the men are gone to war or to prison. Places where poverty has shattered families. And the women stayed. Generations of people who are raised by their mothers. The church is a perfect example of that kind of community. Churches everywhere are run by the women. The strength and the passion of women that keep the church going. So Mother's Day is an important holiday, I think. More important than it was in my community where I grew up. But also tricky. It's tricky because of how society treats childless women. It's tricky because some mothers have been disappointing at some times or absent. And I think it's tricky for yet one more reason, too. Because I think the way our culture, our Hallmark culture, approaches Mother's Day is itself a kind of betrayal of what it ought to mean. We're told that on Mother's Day, of course, that's that special day when we put Mom on a pedestal with chocolate and flowers and pedicures. The one day I get to sleep in. I don't have anything in particular against chocolate and flowers and pedicures. I think everyone gets to be celebrated, and I wouldn't begrudge anyone having a day of rest or a celebration. But that vision of Mother's Day doesn't remember where the holiday came from, doesn't remember the true meaning of Mother's Day. When you put someone on the pedestal, that's the most effective way I can think of to disempower them. You want to disempower someone, give them an award, put them way up on a pedestal, and unless they're very courageous or very strong or very clear-eyed, they will behave themselves from then on. They'll stop doing what they're doing, and they'll say thank you for the adulation. And they'll cease from being a problem. That's the danger of Mother's Day. So it's worth asking on Mother's Day, I think, are we disempowering women? What do I mean? Well, Mother's Day started with a community of women, of abolitionists and suffragettes and anti-war activists, women like Julia Ward Howe, the woman who wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic, who got together, and their idea was not that mothers should be up on pedestals. Their idea was that women should be out in the streets, because women had a lot of work to do, that the women were tired of sending their children, their sons, their daughters, their children to war. To die. And so the idea of Mother's Day was a day of women's empowerment to say we will never again send our children to die in war. A day for protesting violence, a day for protesting war, a day for protesting the senseless death of young people. Julia Ward Howe and her sisters and siblings in this cause had in mind their own kind of civil unrest. And our Mother's Day celebrations, I fear, have kind of forgotten that history, forgotten what is particular about a feminine style, a woman's style of leadership, forgotten what's so important about a about a culture, a society organized around the active protection of the lives of its sons, its daughters, its children that they've brought into the world. Forgotten the sense of the mothering values that we think of and that we ought to think of when we think even of the divine. So Simeon looks at Mary and he says to her, just to her, a sword will pierce your heart too. Not a Hallmark card, but the battle hymn of the Republic. Not a sign of purity on a pedestal, but an invitation to love at work in the world. And when you look at it in that way, I think our whole society needs to be more archetypally maternal. A sword pierces through all of our hearts, we need to recognize. Every time a young person is shot in the streets, a sword pierces through all of our hearts every time a little child goes to bed hungry. A sword pierces through all our hearts because we're all called to be mothering as well as fathering. Through all of our hearts when our children are sent to wars that do no good and make little difference in the world. We are all called to be Mary-like, mothers of the divine word made flesh. Is there something special about motherhood, we ask on Mother's Day? Well, every individual mom is different. They all do wonderful things, and they often do hard things and manage or don't manage better or worse from day to day, as with all of us, not just mothers. And I don't want to get too deep into stereotypes, but there is this kind of archetype of the maternal that we need to cling to, especially these days, the mother energy, the feminine energy, the feminine divine, the Mary part of our story. The morality and the existence in nurturing rather than just controlling, in propagating life rather than just spending it, in community. Female energy tends to work much better in groups. We like that hero of the lone individualist, usually man, but there's also this need for communitarianism, for being together, for working collaboratively in compromise and in synthesis and not just striving for victory. There is a morality and an existence in the care of the vulnerable and in seeing strength in vulnerability. So I was driving over, I saw this family riding their bikes down the sidewalk, and I have to tell you, I always notice when people ride their bikes on the sidewalk. As a pretty avid biker myself and also a pedestrian, I always think judgmentally, you gotta get those bikes in the street. Bikes don't belong on the sidewalk. But there's a law that says bikes can be on the sidewalk for people under 12, and there was a child, a family with a child riding down the sidewalk. So I gave him a pass in my mental judgment brain, and I, you know, double-checked all my other little safety points. They got a helmet, good lights, riding safely, following the rules. And as I was thinking about it, driving in, I realized that sort of the gift of the parenting that was going on there. And the mix of fear and courage that it takes to be a mother, to be a good parent, to be a good mother. The fear that must come every time your kid leaves the house. The fear that comes every time your kid gets the bike out of the garage to take a ride. And the temptation to put all that bubble wrap on a child, or to just keep them at home doing something far safer than being on a bike. The temptation to fear and the wisdom and the love to instead respond with that courage to say, yeah, we're going to be careful. We're going to ride on the sidewalk until you get enough confidence to ride in the street. We're going to put that helmet on because that's the single best thing you can do to protect what's most important about yourself when you're riding a bike. But we're going to get out there. We're going to have courage as well as caution. And I thought that how often the failures we see when we're trying to care for others, when we're making others part of our lives, come from either being fearful without courage, that smothering, that holding in, or courageous without caution, the callousness and bravado. And I thought about Mary as God's, as Jesus's mother, and that mix for her, the courage and the caution, the courage to let him out into the world, but always to be there, always to be walking with him. We can use more of that versus, especially these days when so much of our society is full of the caricature of fragile and broken masculinity, we need that resilient femininity, that courage and that culture and that caution. The symbol of the holy feminine on this Mother's Day. So let me say it one more time. I have nothing against hardworking mothers, hardworking women, hardworking people who sacrifice so much of themselves for others, having a day to get pampered a bit, to get some chocolate and a pedicure. Everyone deserves ice cream. But come Monday morning, every one of us needs to take seriously the important responsibility of creating this more mothering society. The responsibility of getting down off the pedestal and out into the street, of turning the Hallmark jingle into that battle hymn of the Republic. If we truly want to honor the mothers of our world and the best and most nurturing in each of us, the mothering, the caring, the life-affirming heart of God that we all have inherited from our heavenly parent, then let's get about the business of making sure our children are safe. They're educated, they're nourished, and they're loved. And perhaps we will find our hearts becoming a little less pierced by this world. Amen.